The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
In a key sentence in my remarks, I said the word would instead of wouldn't. The sentence should have been, I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be Russia.
It wouldn't.
Sort of a double negative.
Your favorite school bus.
Double negative, what's your function?
A desperate way to not side with the Russians.
Double negative, how's that function?
Confusing the people with sentence construction. When you said something positive that's horribly negative, add another negative to make it positive. For instance, the president isn't in Putin's pocket. The president isn't not in Putin's pocket.
Uh-huh.
Let's try it again. The president wasn't owned by Kim Jong-un. The president wasn't owned by Kim Jong-un. Not. Or how about the president isn't trustworthy? Well, let's just let that one stand.
Negative, so that's your function.
Helping to cover mental dysfunction. Like lying and cheating, collusion and treating, locking up babies,
touching those ladies,
Aryan rooting and bowing to Putin. Trump can't never won't tell the truth. Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, yes. Stephen Colbert, you know, as I always say, sometimes the cold opens are just brilliant and hit it out of the ballpark. Sometimes they just sit there flat. That was a great one. Double negative junction. Yes. We all remember our Schoolhouse Rock. Apparently, Trump thought, I don't know what he thinks. I don't think his brain works. I just don't get it. The whole double negative thing really doesn't work. And I rarely find myself agreeing with Chuck Schumer, but I did yesterday.
President Trump has strengthened our adversaries while weakening our defenses and those of our allies.
Yeah.
A single ominous question now hangs over the White House. What could possibly cause President Trump to put the interests of Russia over those of the United States?
Good question.
Millions of Americans will continue to wonder if the only possible explanation for this dangerous behavior is the possibility that President Putin holds damaging information over President Trump.
What else could it be?
Like any patriotic American, I was absolutely appalled by the press conference that capped off the president's trip to Europe this morning. I didn't think it could get worse than his performance at the NATO summit, but
nope.
It sure did.
Yep.
In just the last week alone, the president attacked our closest allies in NATO, calling the European Union a foe, meddled in the domestic affairs of an ally by undermining the prime minister of the United Kingdom. And that was all before he held a summit and downright shameful press conference with the man who directed the interference in our 2016 elections and, according to all reports, continues to try and do so today. At every step along the way, the president is kneecapping our allies and offering a helping hand to our adversaries. When it comes to the interference in our 2016 elections, the president has managed to point his finger at just about everybody except the culprit. It's inexplicable. Or maybe it's not. President Trump has blamed Secretary Clinton. He's blamed the DNC. He's blamed the FBI. He said that, quote, both countries are responsible for the state of relations between the United States and Russia. The one person he hasn't blamed is the person he stood shoulder to shoulder with this morning, Vladimir Putin.
It is true. There's no love lost from me to a little Chucky Schmucky there. But occasionally he gets something right. Donald Trump has never criticized Putin. He just hasn't. He gives him the benefit of the doubt at every turn. And this whole thing, you know, now he's doing an about face. Let me see if I can find the email. I just got a couple of news alerts that here from the Washington Post. The White House has been under intense criticism after Press Secretary Sarah Sanders on Wednesday declined to rule out the Kremlin's request to question former U.S. Ambassador to Moscow Michael McFaul and other Americans who've been critical of Russian President Vladimir Putin's regime. Today, Sanders said that I can't put those two words together. President and Trump, the same sides of a magnet. They repel one another. It's like the word president and the word Trump. They can't butt up against each other. They don't flow out of my mouth. On Thursday, Sanders said Trump does not agree with Putin's proposal. Quote, it is a proposal that was made in sincerity by President Putin, but Trump disagrees with it, she said in a statement. Hopefully, President Putin will have the 12 identified Russians come to the United States to prove their innocence or guilt. That wasn't the great idea that Dump said it was an incredible idea at that press conference, didn't he? Incredible idea to have Moscow question our people. We'll get to that in what's news. People in the chat room are talking about how frightening this is. It feels like we're getting to a point where everything explodes, doesn't it? Like something's about to give, and I don't know what that's going to be. I really don't. It would be wonderful if something tremendous happened, you know, like all of a sudden Mueller says, okay, investigation done. Here are 50 more indictments, and Donald Trump and Mike Pence are at the top of the list. Because you know Pence is complicit with everything, all right? He just goes along with anything Trump says. That's all. I keep feeling like that other shoe is going to drop, and I don't know where it is. I don't know what it is. I don't know when it's happening. But hopefully something happens soon, because this nation is going crazy. I mean, we are being gaslighted, and gaslighting comes up in today's What's News as well. Yeah, water is getting up to Trump's nose, Trumantown says in the chat room. Something's got to give. You know, just when you think somebody from the Republican Party is going to grow a spine, they all back down. They bought his stupid double negative. All they needed was something. And by Trump saying, I meant to say wouldn't instead of would, it wouldn't have changed anything. He went on through that whole press conference basically kissing Putin's ass. And by changing wouldn't to would or would to wouldn't, again, didn't change anything about what he said, because the sentence made no sense at all. It just made no sense. Nothing makes sense anymore. That's why this job gets more and more difficult to do by the day, because nothing makes sense. I used to talk about how, you know, I used to like taking calls from right-wingers because I can argue with them. But when they started just making shit up, that's when it got difficult. You can't reason with someone who was unreasonable. You can't have an argument with someone who throws out made up facts and presents them as the truth when it's just made up shit. And now you have this administration that their game plan is gaslighting. They lie about everything and then make you feel crazy when you question your sanity. But I've said it before. They day in and day out come out and they say the sky is green. And we say, no, the sky is blue. And they say, it's green. Look up. The sky is green. And they back one another up on it. And we're left here going, the sky is blue. I know it's blue. And they're making me feel crazy for believing that it's blue. We know it's blue. You can't convince me otherwise, but they will keep insisting that it's green. And that's what they're doing. Now, apparently, Fox ran a compilation reel of times that Trump said it was. I should have pulled the audio. I hate to pull anything from Fox. times that he said that Russia had meddled in the elections. The only times he said it with a qualifier. But it could be other people too. Could be 400-pound guy sitting on his bed. He never just said, I accept the assessment of our intelligence professionals and believe that, yes, Russia was behind it. And Putin called the shots. Never once. But he'll say he did. The sky is blue. Don't forget the sky is blue. Please do what I did today, and I do about once a week these days. I wasn't sure where to go to check on my voter registration, but I live in Broward County, Florida, and I Googled Broward County voter registration. And I, sure enough, in one of the first few results, found where I could check on my voter registration, and it's still there, it's still good. But with all the dirty tricks they're playing, you need to make sure you're registered. If you haven't yet registered, do it today. And if you are registered, if you believe you're registered, check on it. In Florida, our primary is August 28th. I don't know when your primary is, depending where you are. Maybe it already passed. But even if you voted in the primary, leading up to November 6th, keep checking. Make sure your vote hasn't been stolen, because they're going to pull out all the dirty stops they can, because everything is on the line here. All right. Today's Thursday. We always look forward to Thursdays because Howie Klein is here. So lots to talk with Howie about, including a new contest. He is giving away one of his, I guess it's like a platinum record award. You know, Howie Klein used to be president of Sire Records. So he's got a whole bunch of music industry stuff that's really cool. And he's got Neil Young's Harvest. One of the best albums of all time. A gold record award or a platinum record award that they're giving away to a donor to the Blue America Pack, I think for Alan Grayson. So Howie will tell us all about that. But the way the Blue America contests work, you make a donation of any amount. It could be $5 or it could be $500, whatever you can afford. Everybody who donates has the same chance of winning the prize. So that's one to get in on. So we'll talk about that and other things. But first, let's get to what's news, because it is opposite world. I read the news today. And we're doing it live.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, Donald Trump and the White House are still trying to clean up the mess made by the president in Helsinki, but they keep muddying the already very swampy waters. Trump sat for an interview with Jeff Glor at CBS, in which he once again slammed the so-called fake news media.
On Saturday, you told us your doctrine is strength and achieving peace through strength.
Right.
After Helsinki, Lindsey Graham said you showed weakness.
Lindsey Graham
said it was the most serious mistake of your presidency.
Let me just, I totally disagree. I think I did great at the news
conference. Of course you do.
I think it was a strong news conference.
Of course you do.
You have people that said you should have gone up to him, you should have walked up and started screaming in his face.
Bullshit. Who said that? This guy is such a liar. Nobody said you should have walked up to him and started screaming in his face. I promise you, I will bet everything I have that nobody said that. Not one person said that. Yet he said, everybody says I should have walked up to him and started screaming in his face. Jeff Glor at CBS should have called him out on it and said, really? Who? Who said that to you? Give me a name, but you said everybody. Who? Give me one person who said that to you. The man is a liar, and the news media needs to start calling him out on these lies. Okay, sorry.
We're living in the real world, okay?
Who gives you the best advice when you come back and
shitty
read all
interview.
These stories
really
and you
say
you know what the
interview.
Fuss is all about? Who do you talk to?
I will tell you, I don't know what the fuss is all about. I think we did extremely well.
Of course
and,
you do.
I think the press makes up the fuss. Look, it's fake news, and people understand. I think the press largely makes up a lot of the fuss about a lot of things.
No, and I'm
you
not talking make
about
stuff
one
up.
Of it. I'm talking about everything. It's crazy. You do something that's positive and they try and make it as negative as possible. Not all. And I have to say this. Some of the most honorable people I know, some great people are reporters,
really,
journalists, etc.
But
the level of dishonesty in your profession is extremely high.
But the press covered the substance and the wording of that press conference.
I don't
accurately.
Care what they covered. They didn't cover my meeting. The important thing, frankly,
because he
the
didn't
meeting
let
that lasted
them
for 2.5 hours or almost 2.5 hours. And
how could they cover it? No one was allowed in.
Many things that were very, very positive.
We discussed many, many things that were very, very really. Then how about giving us a readout of the meeting, you piece of shit? No reporters were allowed in. No other people were allowed in. There was you and Putin and two translators. How is the press supposed to cover that? Jeff Glor, I don't watch the CBS news, the evening news, so I hadn't heard this guy. What a lousy interview that was. Question him. Follow up and ask the damn questions. Ah, unbelievable. Okay, calm down, Nicole. So Trump kept up his criticism of the media on Twitter this morning as well. He tweeted, "The fake news media wants so badly to see a major confrontation with Russia, even a confrontation that could lead to war. Where does he get this shit? They are pushing so recklessly hard and hate the fact that I'll probably have a good relationship with Putin. We are doing much better than any other country." He's delusional. He's really delusional. Trump also claimed that he was very strong on Russian election interference in his private one-on-one meeting with Putin, but we'll never know that because nobody was allowed in the meeting to hear what you said, you liar.
You say you agree with U.S. intelligence that Russia meddled in the election in 2016.
Yeah, but, and I've said that before, Jeff. I have said that numerous times before, and I would say that that is true, yeah.
But you haven't condemned Putin specifically. Do you hold him personally responsible?
Well, I would, because he's in charge of the country, just like I consider myself to be responsible for things that happen in this country.
Oh, give me a break.
So certainly, as the leader of a country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
What'd you say to him?
You notice he doesn't answer
the
question.
We can't have meddling. We can't have any of that. Now, look, we're also living in a grown-up world.
Bullshit.
Will a strong statement, you know, President Obama supposedly made a strong statement.
And
nobody
so he goes
it.
To bad-mouthing Obama.
Is
I don't know what the hell he's talking about
to,
here.
Putin's very close friend, and that statement
what?
Was not acceptable.
What?
Didn't get very much play, relatively speaking, but that statement was not
about?
Acceptable. But I let him know we can't have this.
Sure
We're not
you did.
Going to have it, and that's the way it's going to be.
I let him know we can't have this. We're not going to have it, and that's the way it's going to be. Sure you did. Oh, God, what a reprehensible piece of crap this man is. He wouldn't know the truth if it came up and bit him on the ass. Oh, my God. You just have to let that stand there and marinate for a little while. Unbelievable. Earlier in the day, yesterday, a reporter asked Trump if Putin was still targeting our country with cyber attacks, right? It was in the cabinet room. And although the cameras clearly caught Trump answering no, it's going to be in this next clip. It's hard to hear it, but when you watch the video, you see the reporter, Cecilia Vega of ABC, asked him. And he says, "Thank you. No." And he was looking right at her. It's in this next clip. All right. So although the cameras clearly caught Trump answering no, the White House is claiming that he didn't. Here's Anderson Cooper, his take on the whole gaslighting thing. It was pretty good.
He was asked by a reporter early today, and he answered no. In fact, he answered no twice.
Yes,
and he
looked
right at the reporter
yes,
when
he did,
according to people in the room. And that answer was caught on video.
Yep.
As you might know, that contradicts what Dan Coats, his own director of national intelligence, said just 2 days ago and said before that just last Friday. Quoting Director Coats' statement now, "The warning lights are blinking red," is how he put it regarding the Russian threat. So unless the Russian cyber threat in the space of just a few days went from red alert to non-existent, the president doesn't seem to believe the intelligence community, his own hires who are now running it, despite what he just said today. So, of course, hours after the president said no, he didn't think Russia was still targeting us, the White House sent Sarah Sanders to the podium to tell us that what we heard was not at all what the president actually said. They've done this time and time again, of course. Either a spokesperson, a surrogate, or the president himself simply says or tries to suggest that you didn't really see or hear what you clearly saw or heard.
It's gaslighting.
But I'm honest, though, this is not a case of different people having different recollections of what really happened. We know what really happened because it happened, all of it, on camera.
Yep.
So with that in mind, here's what the president actually said, followed by the attempted gaslighting.
Is Russia still targeting the U.S.? Is Russia still targeting the U.S.?
Thank you very much.
He said no.
So despite the video that shows the president looking at Cecilia and answering no to this question about whether Russia is still targeting the U.S., and despite multiple people in the room understanding that the president was responding to that question, and despite the president having never before said the word no repeatedly to usher reporters out of the room, you're saying it's reverse. You're saying the president said, this is the
first thing that
time.
The president said after the question was asked was thank you very much, and then he said no, I'm not answering any more questions. So
he didn't say, no, I'm not taking questions. No, comma, I'm not taking any
That's
more questions.
Right.
That would
he
make
didn't.
Sense. He just said, no, thank you very much, looking at the reporter who just asked him a yes or no question. And he said it twice, looking at the reporter.
Looking at the reporter, he said no. He answered her question. He answered it twice. No. Sarah Sanders got up at that podium and lied again, because that's what these people do, is they lie to the American public. And it's disgusting. There is a break in the armor there. Speaking at the Aspen Security Forum, FBI Director Chris Wray explained that the threat must still be taken very seriously.
He was asked by a reporter.
Whoops, that's here.
He's got his view. He's expressed his view. I can tell you what my view is. The intelligence community's assessment has not changed. My view has not changed, which is that Russia attempted to interfere with the last election, and that it continues to engage in malign influence operations to this day.
Aimed at our political system?
Aimed at sowing discord and divisiveness in this country.
He's talking
we haven't
about Putin
yet seen
here.
An effort to target specific election infrastructure this time, but certainly other efforts, what I would call malign influence operations, are very active, and we could be just a moment away from it going to the next level. So to me, it's a threat that we need to take extremely seriously and respond to with fierce determination and focus.
It would be nice if his president would say those things, too. All right. There is more news. Late yesterday, the New York Times reported that the president, 2 weeks after his inauguration, read highly classified U.S. intelligence establishing that Putin himself personally ordered the plan of cyber attacks and disinformation to interfere with the election and to support Trump's bid for the White House. Trump saw that right around the time of his inauguration, and he's still casting doubts as to, well, it could have been anyone, could have been other people too. The White House yesterday also left open the possibility, although now they've come to their senses apparently, but as of, only an hour ago. Up until then, they left open the possibility that it would allow Russian investigators to question U.S. citizens, including Michael McFaul, the American ambassador to Russia under Obama, and Bill Browder, the man who spearheaded the Magnitsky Act, which, of course, is reviled by Putin. Those are two of the names that Putin singled out, saying that he wants to question them. Michael McFaul was on Rachel Maddow's show last night.
Vladimir Putin has been after me for a long time, even when I was ambassador, harassing me in ways that no other U.S. ambassador there has ever experienced. I wrote a whole book about it to try to educate the American people about this man. He's done some outrageous things around the world, but even to our diplomats and even to me personally. What I was totally flabbergasted by was that the White House would not defend me. I'm an American citizen. I worked for the government for 5 years. And it would have been so easy to bat it back. And it's not just about me. I want to make sure people understand this. By not doing that, they are allowing moral equivalency between an indictment issued by Mr. Mueller last week, against Russian intelligence officers and a handful of us. It wasn't just me. It was several American government officials to request to, you know, for this cockamamie crazy scheme. Nothing is true in what they said about it. And by the president allegedly just saying, OK, I'm going to look into it. In fact, he said at the press conference in Helsinki, I think it's a great idea. And then 48 hours later, you'd think they could, like, come up with a policy and understand why this is so crazy and not in America's national interest. For some reason, they didn't get it right at the White House. I wish them well. I hope maybe tomorrow they'll get a better statement out.
Yeah, you would hope. And they did. So today they put a better statement out. This breaking news from Politico here. Donald Trump disagrees with a proposal from Russian President Vladimir Putin that would allow the Kremlin to interrogate a former U.S. ambassador to Russia and others. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said Thursday, and I read you this quote before. This is the statement. It is a proposal that was made in sincerity by President Putin, but Trump disagrees with it, she said. Hopefully, President Putin will have the 12 identified Russians come to the United States to prove their innocence or guilt. Yeah. Yeah, there's a chance of that happening. What is this? There's one more story that I want to bring you before we break, and that is having to do with Trump's Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. Some of his old comments have surfaced, in which he expresses his desire to overturn a three-decades-old ruling upholding the constitutionality of an independent counsel. There's a reason, Trump picked Kavanaugh because he said that he thinks sitting presidents can't be indicted. And now this he wants to overturn. This is from, I think, 2015, I believe from 2015. This is I didn't write down where it was from. Okay, but this is Kavanaugh being interviewed at some right-wing think tanky thing.
Back in 2016, Kavanaugh broke what's really the one rule for anybody who wants to be a Supreme Court justice someday, which is don't comment publicly on what you would do as a Supreme Court justice. There's some video from 2016 at a conservative think tank where Kavanaugh was asked if there was anything that has come before the Supreme Court that he would like to see overturned or changed. He sort of hemmed and hawed for a little bit, and then he answered.
Can you think of a case deserves to be overturned?
Yes.
Oh, he's funny.
Would you volunteer one?
No.
Pending confirmation hearings. Yes, sir, right here.
He laughs at his own jokes, too. Wow.
Thank you very much.
Actually, I'm going to say one. Morrison v. Olson.
That's the independent counsel statute case.
It's been effectively overruled, but I would put the final nail in.
Here, here.
If that tape had ended 15 seconds sooner than it had, you wouldn't have an issue here. But instead, what you have is a potential Republican-appointed Supreme Court justice saying he'd like to throw out the special counsel statute when this very Supreme Court may, in the future, have to weigh in on things like, can the president fire the special counsel? Could the president pardon himself? Any number of issues related to the special counsel investigation could come before this Supreme Court, and Democrats, including Chuck Schumer on the floor just now, see that as a big deal.
Yeah. We're so screwed. Unless somebody comes along to save the day, we are so screwed. One last story. Remember when Trump went to France last year for their Bastille Day celebration and came home saying he wants a similar parade here, showing off our military prowess? Well, he's still planning to do that, and it's expected to cost around $12 million. Almost as much as the military drill with South Korea that he canceled after claiming it was tremendously expensive. God, again, so screwed. And I just want to share with you a quick email I got from listener Lauren in Canada, who writes to me every now and then when this topic comes up. And who was I talking to yesterday? It was Dennis Campbell. Who talked about, I think it was, oh no, it was, I'm sorry, it was Jack Rice. And Jack Rice talked about, you know, the American president being the leader of the free world. And I said, he isn't. You know, even if you believe that the president of the United States has up until this time been the leader of the free world. Trump has given that up. We no longer have that distinction. Well, Lauren writes, Nicole, sigh. The rest of the free world, whatever that is, didn't ever consider the American president to be our leader. Do Americans really think that anyone beyond your borders thinks that way? That's just another delusion of American exceptionalism. Point well taken. Oh, God. All right. Let's not wait any longer. Let's get Howie Klein on the line, shall we? Because why not? It is that time. Let's do it.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
And, of course, the Blue America Pack. Hi, Howie Klein. Uh-oh. Howie, you there? Uh-oh. Oh, I don't think we have Howie. All right, let's try calling him back again. I don't know what happened there. That was weird. Let's see if it works this time. I'm going to have one of those days. I just know it. All right, calling Howie Klein.
Hi, it's Howie.
Hey, Howie. It's Nicole.
Hey. How you doing, Nicole?
I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
We're both hanging in there.
Yeah, I watched what's going on, and I have this feeling that the proverbial other shoe is about to drop. All this stuff with Trump not calling out Putin on meddling in the elections, and then all of a sudden changing his tune and changing would to wouldn't, and all the insanity that's going on. I feel like something is about to break. I just get this feeling that something's going to happen.
You know, it's funny. A lot of people are telling me that today, but for some reason, I don't feel it. Hmm. I mean, I'm hearing it from lots of people.
Really?
People I respect. And yet, I mean, I was looking at two polls today, and they both said the same thing, that 85, they didn't have both the exact same numbers, but almost 85% of Republicans don't give a damn. They do not care. They don't. They wouldn't care if it's proven that Russia stole the election. They wouldn't care if it's proven that Russia is trying to steal the midterms. They just don't care.
Isn't that 85%
of Republicans? They don't care, and that's all he cares about is his base.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Democrats and independents do care. So, I mean, but if the Russians are going to steal the midterms somehow, I mean, and let's face it. If the government isn't using paper ballots mm-hmm. at this point, and they're still insisting on using these compromised electronic machines,
yep.
What hope is there?
There isn't any. And there's so much money invested in these stupid machines that they're not just going to throw them away. You know, there was a group of these machines, I think they were the ES&S machines, that Ireland bought. After we had used them for a little while. And once they got them over there and they realized that there's like proprietary software that they can't get into to see, they scrapped them. They never used them. They retired all these machines they bought and for scrap metal, which is what we should have done.
Or should do.
Yeah, or should do.
Yeah, I mean, if the government won't get rid of those machines and just go to paper ballots, I think we're just doomed.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're right. And you know, and there's no one's even talking about that Russia perhaps flipped votes. They're just talking about what they did, you know, using social media and.
Oh, they're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
We'll get all of the information about it. Well, we won't because we'll be dead. But this is right. The kind of stuff that comes out in 75 years.
Right.
Literally, that's when they put it out, 75 years later.
Wow.
But not before. So I think I've mentioned to you before that I have no, there's no doubt, not the slightest, tiniest doubt that Russia did not have key precincts in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, you know, Iowa. They had it in a bunch of states, enough to flip those states and give Trump the Electoral College. And they targeted really well. That was Jared Kushner's role.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they won the Electoral College, even though Hillary won the election by over 3 million votes. And that's why I always call Trump an illegitimate president. Mm-hmm. If I use the word president, which I almost never do, I always put it in quotation marks.
Right.
I mean, at Down With Tyranny, we just do not ever call him President Trump.
Right, nor do I. As I said earlier, I physically can't put the two words together. It's like this, you know, like sides of a magnet. They repel one another. Those two words won't come out of my mouth in that order.
Yep, good. We usually call him Senor Trumpanzee.
Yes.
But I know that offends some people as well. So, you know, just Trump is enough, or Trumpanzee is enough.
Or Dump.
Dump.
Donald D apostrophe UMP. It works, and it fits.
There are a lot of ways to use it. Don McCon is a good one.
Yes, it is. And he is. And with each passing day, he digs himself deeper and deeper into a hole. And I can't believe that Republicans let him get away with his, an apostrophe T added on. And that was his excuse, that he misspoke one word. Everything
they
he
don't
said
care.
In that news
That's
conference.
The point. Republicans do not care. Not the Republicans in college, in Congress. They mm-hmm. don't care. And not the Republicans in, that walk among us. They don't care. They just do not care. He's their man. I was talking with these evangelical pastors who I'm working with now, and they told me that not their kind of evangelicals, but the other evangelicals think that he was put on the throne by God.
And you
can't go beyond that with them. God put him there, period. Now, why they never figured out that God put Obama there, I don't know exactly, but they say that God put Trump there.
Well, you know, I mean, I have no use for organized religion. I'm not a believer. But those who were saying, you know, that Obama was the Antichrist and he was going to hasten the apocalypse. If you believe in that shit, then you know what? Donald Trump fits the bill.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you don't have to be a believer in organized religion to believe that Donald Trump is the Antichrist. You can just believe that all on your own.
I don't even know what the Antichrist is. Just, I guess, you know.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. That's it. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Meanwhile, here we are. What? We're 3.5 months away from Election Day. Yeah. And you still believe there's going to be a big blue wave?
I do. Big, big, big.
Good, because it's
our only
hope.
One of the things that I was very excited about yesterday is, I mean, let me give a little back up a second. Most of the polls that you see that come out that say the Democrats have, this much, they're this much ahead of the Republicans or this much ahead of the Republicans, those are national generic polling.
Mm-hmm.
So, and what doesn't work for me about that is that it will include districts that are, say, D plus 30, and it'll also include Republican districts that are mm-hmm. R plus 30. Who cares about those districts? Those are not battleground districts.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter what the generic polling is nationally, because it's kind of polluted by these districts that aren't going to be fought over. I mean, no one's going to go into Harlem and as a Republican. I mean, if someone runs in those districts, they're just a vanity candidate. It doesn't make any difference. So if you remove all of those very, very strongly Democratic districts and very, very strongly Republican districts, then you're getting down into where it really matters, which are, you know, what's often called the battleground districts. And yesterday's polling that I spent half the day looking at and am now really behind only looked at 48 battleground districts. So that's where it's important. And when you see that the Democrats are ahead in those districts, That's when you know there's a blue wave coming. It doesn't matter in the panhandle of Texas how people are going to vote and what they think. It matters zero. It does not matter in any way at all. Yes, those people have never voted for a Democrat in their life. They never will. And they think that the Democrats are, what were you saying before? The Antichrist. Yes. So, but we don't care what they think. It doesn't matter. I mean, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe someday it'll matter, but but not for the 2018 election. Doesn't matter what's going on in the panhandle of Texas.
Right.
What matters is what's going on in Omaha, Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on there is very, very good for the Democrats and very, very bad for the Republicans. Because in districts like that, the Democrats are slaughtering Republicans. The districts like that, independent voters have turned their backs on Republicans, and they don't want to hear about it, and they have decided they are going to vote for the Democrat. They might not even know who the Democrat is at this point.
Hmm.
In fact, that's unfortunate. I mean, not in that district. In that district, it's fine. But in so many districts where the DCCC has been able to put their crappy candidates, and then people say, look, they love these blue dogs. Look, they love the new Dems. You know, there's nothing wrong with, like, grotesque corruption. It all works. But what's really happening is that Democrats and independents just want to vote for something with a D next to its name. So by the New Dems and the Blue Dogs and the DCCC working together to put so much of that crap into the nominations, and the Progressive Caucus doing nothing at all, just laying there like a bump on a log, then we have a problem going forward, but not in 2018. In 2018, we don't have a problem. The Democrats are going to win, and they're going to win by a lot, and a lot of Democrats are going to be elected. The problem comes in once voters realize that, you know, they've been had, that these people who are now in Congress are every bit as corrupt, every bit as worthless as the Republicans were. So, you know, probably by 2022, there'll be a huge wave for the Republicans. And so it goes. So, you know, that's my problem, and I keep trying to explain that to people. And when I get through to someone at the DCCC and explain it, and members of Congress who are connected to the DCCC, they just say to me, you know what, I don't care. We'll be able to do a lot of good in the next 4 years, do a lot of unwinding of what all the bad stuff Trump has done, and then if the Republicans take it back, so what? Well, no. Not so what.
No,
that's
right.
That's where they're so wrong. You know, I talked about Omaha a minute ago, and the person who's going to win there is named Kara Eastman. So Kara is an incredible Democrat. She's a progressive Democrat. She's a grassroots kind of candidate. She's got, you know, her platform is very, very similar to Bernie's platform. She beat a blue dog who the DCCC was pushing really hard.
Good.
And they are so angry they won't support her now, but she's going to win anyway. Doesn't matter what the hell they do. She's going to win that district. She's going to go into Congress. And she's going to be a great member of Congress. She's going to be working with other great members of Congress to do a lot of good. And I would predict that even when the Republican wave comes in 2022, she'll be able to stand up to it because of her record that she's going to make between 2019, January 2019, when she gets her seat, and 2022 when the Republican wave comes. But most of these shit candidates that the DCCC is putting in, they're going to all fall. Now,
good.
You know, why am I talking about this? Because it's already happened before.
Mm-hmm.
In 2006,
mm-hmm.
We're getting a mirror image of 2006. 2006, the DCCC put in all these terrible blue dogs and new Dems. And then in 2020, in 2008, Obama was elected. That was a good year for Democrats as well. And then what happens in 2010? Massive, massive Republican wave,
right.
wiped out every gain the Democrats had in both the House and the Senate. And that's why we're in the mess we're in now. So, but it's impossible to teach these people anything. They're literally don't want to learn. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it, and they don't want to know about it. All they want to do is elect the most disgustingly corrupt Democrats they can find everywhere. And they don't want good Democrats. They hate them. They fear them. You know, that's why they're at war with this poor young woman who just won an incredible race. They hate her.
Well,
they hate Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They hate her. I have not seen the kind of hatred they're expressing for her against Republicans. The DCCC and the Democratic establishment in Washington are so scared of her and hate her so badly. I mean, I'm sure you saw the Wall Street Journal op-ed
by Joe Lieberman
the other day. Mm-hmm. Just repulsive. Why not bring the most repulsive Democrat in history back from the grave? Now he's some kind of lobbyist for Trump's law firm.
Oh, God.
Why not bring him back from the dead and have him go on a vile, vicious attack against a woman who's bringing hope to the Democratic Party, who's going, people are going to turn out all over the country because of her. Mm-hmm. People love her. And all the establishment does is think of ways to thwart her. She hasn't even gotten into Congress yet, and they're already attacking her.
It's amazing.
It's really, really sickening.
So Joe Lieberman writes this op-ed for the Wall Street Journal. We talked about this a little bit last week in that Joe Crowley somehow got the endorsement of the Working Families Party in New York, which means he's on the ballot on the Working Families line. And, Crowley said, you know, he wasn't running, that he would throw his support to Alexandria, but he hasn't gotten himself off the ballot. And Joe Lieberman now is saying, you know, you got to vote for Joe Crowley.
Right. In a local New York paper, he's saying that. But by the way, keep in mind that the Working Families Party is ready to slit their wrists.
Right.
They are begging him to get his name off their line. They legally, it looks like they can't make him do it. But they're asking him to do it. They're telling their members, don't vote for him. Vote for Alexandria. I mean, it's a terrible situation that they're in. And you know, I'm not saying they don't deserve it for playing that game with him. But there's nothing that they can do about it. And I actually feel sorry for them. They're in a state of horror right now.
I'll
over
bet.
This. They're all for her.
Right. Of course they are. So let me ask you something, Howie, because we didn't talk about this. In California, the California Democratic Party endorsed, what's his name, who's running against Dianne Feinstein.
Right. KDL, Kevin De Leon.
Kevin De Leon. But Feinstein won the primary. So what happens with that?
So, yeah, well, she won the primary and who endorsed him was the executive committee of the Democratic Party. So it's a big deal that the EC endorsed Kevin De Leon, but it doesn't have any effect on the fact that she won the primary. She
right.
won the primary.
So
that's
she's on the ballot.
But, you know,
he's
he
not.
Can say as much as he wants that he was endorsed by the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
He can say she won the primary.
Yep.
So they both have something that they can say. He won by 65% of the vote.
Wow.
With lots of people. It doesn't mean that she got, like, you know, all the ones that he didn't get. A lot of people just voted to not endorse anyone.
Yeah, she came in
but
third,
he needed
I think.
65, he got 65.
Right. But he's not on the ballot, though, right?
No, he is. We're in this rocky
state. Oh, it's
the
first top two. That's
right. It doesn't matter that it be two Democrats. There's no Republican on
the
ballot. It's just the two of them.
I see. Okay. I had a brain fart on that one. Okay. I get it. All right. So it is a race between the two of them. That should be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the problem with that, and a lot of people don't understand this, is that for years and years and years, Republicans in this state have loved her. They love her. They have no problem voting with her. They don't voting for her. They don't think about it twice. So she's going to not. It's not going to be a race between conservative Democrats versus progressive Democrats. You know, that'll be one of the dynamics of the race. But there's something much worse than that. The Republicans who are going to come out. They might not have come out, but they are coming out in a big way because they've got a gubernatorial candidate this time. Not that the gubernatorial candidate has any chance to win,
mm-hmm.
but they've got a gubernatorial candidate, so they're going to come out. And when they come out, they'll vote for their gubernatorial candidate. They'll vote for some of their congressional candidates, and they have plenty.
Yeah.
But then they're going to vote for Dianne Feinstein like they always have in the past. They like her. They didn't like Barbara Boxer, but they liked Dianne Feinstein. They always have for her whole career. They loved her.
Wow.
You know, and I knew this woman when she was on what was called the Board of Supervisors, which is in San Francisco, is in effect the City Council of San Francisco. So I knew her then and how terrible she was. I knew her when she ran for mayor and how terrible she was. And I knew her when she ran for governor. She lost that one. But she's been terrible all along, and the Republicans have no problem with her. None. And I would guess that there won't be a single Republican vote for Kevin. They hate him. They hate him for all the reasons that why progressives love him.
Right.
Yes, the progressives are going to vote for Kevin. The conservative Democrats are going to vote for her. They like her a lot. And the Republicans en masse are going to vote for her. So, you know, that's a big problem for Kevin. I don't know how he's going to get over that.
Well, I don't either. But this is a big coup for him, getting that endorsement from the California Democratic
Party. It is a big coup for him, and it's going to help him to some extent. There are going to be some Democrats, and certainly Labor, which sort of usually splits between progressive and conservative. But I think some Labor in the middle would be give them cover to support him. But in the end, the Republican is going to win the race, I would say, for her. I feel really bad about this because I was one of the people who persuaded Kevin to run. I had lunch with him, and I think we talked about that week.
Right.
And I put a lot of effort into talking him into it. And now I feel I've led him down, you know, a very, very tough path where he's going to, you know, be facing, even though there's no Republican in the race, he's going to be facing a wave of Republicans helping Dianne Feinstein to win her seat. Now, what I've heard is that she doesn't have any intention of serving 6 years, but she just wanted to keep him from getting her seat. And she thinks that she can retire at a certain point and pass the seat along to a conservative Democrat. She has Adam Schiff in mind. She would like Schiff to take her seat and hold it for conservative Democrats.
Wow.
And, you know, I hope that Kevin still feels like running when it's going to come down to him and Schiff.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully things get better between now and then.
I hope they do, too. But, you know, Schiff, meanwhile, is bankrolling millions of dollars. Every time he goes on Rachel Maddow's show, he runs it right after that. He runs to do a fundraiser. And he doesn't have any opposition in his congressional race. He's in my district. So he doesn't. It's not like he's running and bringing in millions and millions of dollars so he can fight for his congressional seat. That's certainly not what he's doing. He's bringing in millions and millions of dollars so he can run for that Senate seat. So try to remember when that happens in a couple of years that I said it, and that people who are listening to us heard it here first.
Okay. We'll remember. We'll remind them.
Forget.
So, Howie,
before
we go, I want to mention you have another Blue America contest going on. This is a really good one.
It is. And when I first started working on it, I didn't realize what a priceless piece of memorabilia was giving away. I thought I was giving away what we're really giving away is Harvest. So Harvest was from 1972. When we were giving it away for Alan Grayson, by the way.
Okay, right.
So it's a Neil Young Alan Grayson contest. So all you have to do is donate any amount of money. Doesn't matter. You could donate $10, or you can donate $1,000. It makes no difference. You have an equal chance to win. And, but the plaque itself is a very, very rare, really rare. If I can remember correctly, there were only 25 of them made.
Wow.
So it's really rare. You obviously can't buy it in a store. It's a double platinum RIAA certified award for Harvest, which was Neil's fourth studio album. He recorded it, if I remember correctly, in 1972. When I started working on it, I didn't look at it closely enough to realize that it was not a different album. I thought it was a more recent album that's sort of around and much easier to get.
Uh-huh.
And so we're winding up giving away something extremely rare and extremely valuable. I mean, my guess would be if this was on eBay, it would probably go for $10,000 or more.
Oh my God! Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I'm happy that we're raising money for Alan with it. He's the guy who deserves it. In fact, I saw him last night. He was in California, and he did he's been doing these around the country, a debate with a Trump impersonator.
Oh God!
And it was really, really funny. He's debating this guy who looks like Trump,
and it has the every nuance of Trump's voice down perfectly. And it's a really funny debate. So if you get a chance to see it, you should definitely take, you know, go and see it. It's extremely funny.
Okay.
Both of them. Alan's good at that kind of thing.
Yes, he is. So to get this, you can go to, if you go to Down with Tyranny, you'll see the Blue America.
Actually right now there's a post up about it. So you see that. But the thing is, it's not normally when people go to Down with Tyranny and click on the Act Blue page, which you were just going to direct them to.
Right.
They go, it goes to a congressional page. But that isn't, you have to go to this.
Oh, you have to go to the special one. All right. Well, I'll find it and I'll link to it from today's blog post where I post the podcast as well. Or you go to Down with Tyranny and look for the Neil Young Harvest Alan Grayson contest post. But again, I'll link to it from my blog at NicoleSandler.com.
That would be great. It's right at the top of Down with Tyranny right now. It just went up.
Okay.
I think. Oh, no, it didn't just go up. It's going up in 5 minutes. Yeah, it goes up at 1 o'clock.
Oh, perfect.
I'm a little confused sometimes.
Okay. So it'll be there short when the show ends, and you can do that. All right. That's good to know. What a great prize that is.
And even though it's 105 degrees right now, Christmas is coming.
Yes, it is. Oh, can you imagine that for a Neil Young fan? Oh, boy. Now, is it...
People would faint. I mean, if your father was a Neil Young fan, he'll love this.
Now, is the award made out to you?
Yes, it is. I was the president of his record label, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I say it was only given out to 25 people. You know, that's like Neil's band.
Yep.
And some very close Neil Young employees. And then a couple of people from Reprise, the record label, one of them being me, thank goodness. So I got it. And, you know, these things are... I don't have enough wall space for all these platinum records and gold records, so I've been giving them away. And even though this one is really precious, I didn't really realize what I was giving away when I promised it. I'm happy that I really, really hope it's a real Neil Young fan who understands the significance of Harvest and what
great.
That means. And I hope that's the person who wins it. It's a random drawing. So everybody who enters, their name gets put into a barrel, and then we just shake it around and grab one, and that's the person that wins it.
I love it. I love that you do this.
There's no way to guarantee it's a real Neil Young fan. That's the problem with it. I mean, somebody won something last time. I believe it was a Green Day guitar, and they said to me to wipe off Green Day's name. They just wanted a guitar.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it made me sick. I actually talked them out of it. I said, well, if you feel that way, why don't I just send you a blank guitar?
Yeah.
They said, yes, what we want.
Wow.
So I did, and then we had the Green Day guitar to do it again another time.
Cool. Well, that works. Hey, we've only got like a minute left, but I got to ask you. So Seymour Stein is leaving Sire Records after all these years, huh?
I have no inside info on it. You know, I read the same press release that you must have, but I know he is leaving Sire and Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he's going to start something else, although I don't know if he has the stamina to do that. But it's, you know, it's just a turning of the page for someone who, you know, is responsible for bringing some very, very incredible artists to the American public, like obviously the Ramones.
That's right. Ramones, Talking Heads came through Sire, didn't they?
That's right. Seymour signed Talking Heads, Seymour signed the Ramones. Those are two of his greatest bands and really, really made a really, really important contribution to American culture.
Yeah. Well, big part of my past, as and yours for sure.
Well, mine for sure. I worked for him.
I know. So you were at Sire before heading over to Reprise, right?
That's right, exactly right.
Howie Klein, all right. Well, we've got like a minute left, so it's time to wrap up. I will put the link on NicoleSandler.com to the Neil Young Harvest contest. And as I told people earlier, right now you got to check your voter registration and make sure it's still in place, because there's dirty tricks that are going to be happening between now and Election Day. They're going to do all they can to get people off the voter roll. So we need to, you know, make doubly and triply sure that our registrations are still good and get out.
I know. I was just speaking with Grayson, and he told me there are 12,000 fewer registered Democrats in his Orlando district than there were last election. I said, how does that happen? And he said, it happens when people move and they don't re-register. That's the main reason. So if you did move, you have to re-register.
And if you didn't.
He pointed out that if people who don't own their own home and who live in an apartment, those are the most likely people to move. You know, because if you live in your own home, you're there for like an average of 6 or 7 years. Whereas if you're in your own apartment, if you don't own an apartment but you live in it, it's more likely that you would move on average every 2 years. Mm. And so that's where the problem comes in. And those people, you know, there's a big tendency among those people to be Democrats, a lot of Democrats.
Wow. All right. So check and double check and triple check your registration. Thank you, Howie Klein. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Nicole.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.